Good morning, Hope College. Happy Monday. I want to introduce someone to you this morning. Bethany Wang is here to speak to us in chapel. Bethany spent over a decade working for International Justice Mission. We heard a little bit about them last week. And she still writes for them and speaks for them. And Bethany spent the last couple years working with Chris and Dede Johnson on a book called The Justice Calling. And we heard about that a little bit last night in the gathering. We actually have several copies available now for you if you want them in the bookstore for purchase. But Bethany's going to share with us a little bit about justice with us this morning. So please welcome with me Bethany.
Thanks so much. So good to be with you all this morning. And Lauren was generous. She said Chris and I spent the last couple of years, it was more like 5 years. So it's been a long project of working together on this book. And one of the things that was really central for us is that justice is not just like a vague societal good or something that is good for everybody to participate in just because it's the right moral thing. Justice actually begins in the heart of God. It originates in God's character. And the other really critical piece for Kristen and I in that book was to communicate that Jesus is the hinge that justice turns on. Jesus is at the center of God's passion for justice. And when Jesus came to this earth, it was his mission to bring justice. Yes, to bring freedom, to bring salvation to us, and in the midst of all of that, to make what is wrong right. That's the fundamental idea of what justice means, to take what was wrong and broken and bring healing and bring flourishing and put it back to the way that God intended and even beyond. But I didn't always understand this. So when I was your age, I was experiencing a lot of growth in my walk with Jesus and had a lot of just incredible people pouring into me, and I was studying the scriptures, and I would come across scriptures like Isaiah 58 that talk about freedom from oppression and breaking chains of slavery, but I didn't understand that there was literal slavery in our world today. So it wasn't until I went to seminary, and not through any of my seminary classes, but through lunch, actually. One day I was at lunch at seminary, and I walked out of the cafeteria on my way to class, and someone had just put up a poster, and the poster just said two things that have really been a pivotal moment in my life ever since when I read those two things on this one poster about 14 years ago. It said this. It said, slavery is alive. And then right underneath it, it said, rape for profit must be stopped. And I really didn't know that slavery was alive. I knew about poverty, I knew about slavery in our history, I knew about poor working conditions and that sort of thing, sweatshop labor. I didn't know that there was literally an issue in our world where human beings were still buying and owning other human beings and keeping them under their power through brutality, through horrific violence. And I definitely didn't know that there's about 30 million people in our world, more than any other time in human history, who are enslaved. But then the second line, rape for profit, I had certainly never heard of an entire industry dedicated to exploiting women and children, girls and boys, for their bodies, and exploiting them over and over and over again until they're simply discarded. So when I saw these two sentences, I asked the woman who had put up the poster. She was from the Salvation Army. I looked at her and I said, okay, what do I do? What in the world is next when you learn these two things? Where do you go from here? And so she slid across the table to me a piece of paper and said, why don't you just put your name down on this mailing list? I was like, really? That's it? Put my name on a mailing list? Okay. But it turns out that was one of the most important next steps that could have ever happened. I put my name on a mailing list, gave her my email, and she started sending me news articles from around the world. And every day I'd get a few more in my inbox. Sometimes I'd read them, sometimes I just couldn't handle it. Sometimes I would read them and then just crumble and wonder, how does anyone keep learning about this stuff over and over again every day and actually find a way to move forward? And that's where scripture came back into the picture for me. The more I learned about human trafficking and slavery and just the depth of suffering in our world, and especially as I started to learn names and faces and meet actual people who have been enslaved and who have been brutalized, I started to see scripture through an entirely new lens. So listen to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 says this. God is speaking about what kind of worship actually matters to him. He says this, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" It's Isaiah 58, 6 through 9. It's just four small verses in the midst of 14 that make up that chapter. And if there's one thing you do when you walk out of here today, open up Isaiah 58 and ask the Holy Spirit to meet you and to teach you from it. There's all of this richness where God is saying, you think that you're doing things to please me. You think that you're being obedient, you're praying, or even fasting, but it all actually ultimately is about you. It's not about me. And what I care about is your neighbor. I care about the person next to you who's broken. I care about the person across the world who's broken and hurting that I want to send you to. I care about you, and I want to meet you and your brokenness and your suffering. And one of the ways that I'll do that is through letting you join me in meeting the brokenness and suffering of others. So God paints this picture of where we're getting it all wrong and tells us that justice is what he actually wants. But then he paints this beautiful picture of what he will do as we step out in faith and justice, of how he will meet us, that the healing we long for will come, that the light in our own darkness will come, that the presence of God that we long for will come in fuller and fuller measure as we move toward places that are hard and are broken and that we might be afraid to go. One of the things that I've learned most over the years is never to underestimate the very smallest steps of faithfulness. I have people come up and ask me all the time, okay, so what can I do? I feel a calling to fight human trafficking or to fight unjust incarceration or to be a part of fighting racial injustice in our world. Whatever it might be, they come and they want to know, what do I do next? And I think they think that they want a list of the 20 things to do where they want the right job description that fits their skills. But none of that's ultimately very satisfying because God has so uniquely tailored each of us to listen to him for that next step. And so the next step may be as small as getting more information. It could be as small as reading a new story every day of what's actually happening in the world. For me, it was literally life-changing. It literally set my life on a different course, these tiny little steps. It could be finding someone in your community that you can sit down and just take the risk of saying, hey, can we pray together? I want to ask God how to meet those who are broken, how to see people who are in need. I want to ask God what steps I should be taking to be on the path of the calling that he's created in my life. But the other thing that I've learned to never underestimate is also the power of exactly what I just said, of prayer. Because I think sometimes we think, okay, well, we'll pray here and there throughout the day or as I'm driving or walking, or sometimes I'll have set apart times of prayer with a prayer group. But there's this enormous, enormous, untapped power of prayer that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. And in prayer, That's where we meet more and more deeply this God who loves justice. And what God wants us to know is that all of the brokenness, all of the hardship, all the things that are just awful in this world and seem to be getting worse and worse, he reigns over all of it. We may not see that right now, but he does. In the setting of all of that back to right, the making of all things new, the wiping of our tears, all that belongs to him too. And what he's doing is he's inviting us in. He's giving us this, what he sees as is life and joy. It's not condemnation. It's not you should be doing this or you should be working harder or get your act together and help other people more. God's saying, no, this is my heartbeat. I want you to come into it with me and I want to send you out. And we will do this together. And we experience that when we pray together, when we stop, when we ask God to remind us to talk to him even. I have to do that a lot. Just the act of asking God to help us pray is a step, a faithful step. So as we go, I want to pray for you. I want you to be thinking about two things as we pray. One, one of my mentors is named Mark Laberton. He wrote the foreword of the book that Kristen and I wrote. And he wrote a book that's also really helpful called. The name of the book is Called, and he talks about that there's a central calling in our life. We're all like wondering, what's my calling? What am I meant to do in the world? He says, your call, the central foundational one, is to follow Jesus. And there's all sorts of different ways that'll manifest for each of us, but that's the one that God wants us to be zeroing in on and asking him to make more and more clear to us. Following Jesus. And another mentor of mine, a favorite pastor named John Ortberg. If you ever want to download great sermons to listen to on podcast or whatever, John Ortberg, he's hilarious and he's really wise. And he says that the central call is following Jesus. And if you look all the way back to Abraham in the beginning of the scripture, Abraham's call from God, his mission was to bless, to go out and bless. So as we pray, let's think about the blessing that God wants to lavish on us and the blessing that he wants us to give. Lord God, thank you for this community here. Thank you for these students. I pray that you would bring joy today, that you would bring an awareness of what is hard and broken in their own lives, in the lives of their friends, in this city, in this world. And as you bring that awareness, I pray that the kind of overwhelm that comes would be a healthy overwhelm that drives them to you. And I pray that you would show them that as they come to you and they bring questions and struggles, that you meet them with joy and with peace that passes all understanding. And would you send them out longing to know more than anything how to follow you, Jesus Christ. And as they go out today, may they see ways all around them that they can simply bless others. Would you speak to them about the small steps of faithfulness that you're inviting them to take day after day and let them experience just great growth in walking with you? All to your glory, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.